Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident Hempo Sapien, Vivian McPeak, will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hemp Present. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hemp Present, email me at hemppresent@gmail.com. I greatly enjoy hearing from you, the listener. Today's guest on Hemp Present is Cleveland, Ohio cannabis activist Brian Adams. Brian received a bachelor's degree from Cleveland State University in 2009, and he has worked with Cleveland Normal since 2013, as well as founding Sensible Cleveland in 2015. Brian is also with Cleveland School of Cannabis and helped decriminalize cannabis possession in Cleveland in 2020. Welcome, Brian, to Cannabis Radio.
Hey there, Vivian. I definitely appreciate you having me on. And wow, those accolades, hearing them from you just makes my resume seem way better than it is.
Well, you did all the work, man. I'm just sharing it with everybody. You know, great to have you on the show and get your message out. Before we move on, let me just say, you started with voter registration, right? Mm-hmm. Could you talk a bit about that experience and how you eventually evolved into cannabis policy?
Absolutely. And thanks once again for having me on. And I listen every week, by the way, Hemp Present, definitely one of the dopest shows out there, Cannabis Radio. strong shout out. And all the way back during the Obama administration, 2008, I would say, is when I somewhat got my activist legs. It was something that finally I could say I believe in. Someone looking like me and being able to be in a place that we had never seen it until that moment, I felt I wanted to be a part of history and help get this brother elected. And whether it was on false hope or just pure adrenaline, you never know. But I ended up getting really heavily involved in voter registration in my community and also other areas where, the rumor is folks don't want to vote and things like that. So I was out to prove them wrong. I actually registered hundreds of folks out of a little corner office and on an east side area of Cleveland. And we did really good. And I think we did our part to help get Barack Obama elected, so much so that I created a song that got all the way to the White House. And he listened to it. He certainly sent me back a letter that was signed by him, acknowledging the fact that the music had got to him. And I hope he listened, as he would say.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, I have to tell you, I'm not an alcohol drinker. I don't drink,
Me neither.
And the night that Barack Obama won in 2008, I went out with my son and I got so drunk, and I haven't had a drink since. And it'd probably been 10 years before that, but I was so excited. And on that note, before we move on to cannabis policy, how concerned are you about current efforts in several states to subvert our election process and disenfranchise millions of voters, specifically voters of color? Does that something that concerns you at the moment? Like it concerns me?
Absolutely. You know, the person of color there, ever since we were through law allowed to vote, which sounds even more ludicrous as I say that a law allowed a human to do something. But we basically have been a very important demographic when it comes to, voter turnout, voter elections. And now our vote is more important than ever with the uprising of and the awareness of what has been happening for the past several hundred years, quite frankly. Now that we have a little mobile phone that can record things, we need to protect the Black vote, quite frankly, a lot more, because even the people on the other side actually see how important it is. So that's why they're trying to disenfranchise and trying to make it harder and, you know, essentially taking it back to the old school. But now more than ever, we need to educate ourselves in southern states and northern states all around. As far as access goes and how to get that access, being involved and staying on the beat of your local election turnout. It's very easy to do, quite frankly. You can go to multiple sources, your local ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, which they helped me a lot on my Sensible Cleveland campaign, and just other various sources like Normal and even Seattle Hemp Fest can help get you. That website can help get you connected to your lawmakers and so-called constituents, because now more than ever, we need to make that turnout and protect that vote because things are happening left and right. But it seems now America is watching wholly and importantly, it is a time where we can all connect, unite and understand that we've been fighting for this for the entire time.
You just mentioned Normal. You're with Cleveland Normal. Can you talk a moment about Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and what the Cleveland chapter of Normal is involved in these days?
Yes, and I love getting the chance to say the full acronym out when I'm in my class or out and about and talking. Yes, that's definitely what it means, and it's very important to the normalization of the conversation since 1970. Got a chance to meet Keith Straub back in 2016 when I did my first lobby effort on behalf of Cleveland Normal. Nowadays, Ohio Normal chapters are somewhat limited. There is one Appalachia Normal chapter left. We have shifted our responsibilities to decriminalization and the Sensible Movement Coalition, which I had a chance to be a part of. The Sensible Cleveland chapter was the founder and chief petitioner for that. But going all the way back in 2013, Cleveland Normal, I was, starting to become the executive director around 2014-ish, got my legs and actually founded the Political Action Committee, or PAC, that was the Sensible Cleveland PAC. On the legs and on the energy of the brilliant colleague and friend Chad Thompson out of Toledo, Ohio, in 2015, Sensible Cleveland was born on the back of Sensible Toledo. So historically speaking, Sensible Toledo was the very first full decriminalization city in the entire country, meaning no fine, no jail time for possession of under 200 grams. So that nowhere else in this country, in any city, have we ever seen that such a low level priority enforcement for cannabis possession. So Cleveland wanted to do the same thing, and we eventually did so through city council.
What role did you play in those reforms, and how would you characterize the general status of cannabis in Cleveland? Are you satisfied with the advancements so far, or are there greater reforms that you're working for?
You know, there's always something greater, right? it gets greater later, man. I feel like this medical cannabis experiment in Ohio is what we ended up with after the 2015 debacle that was responsible Ohio. However you ended up feeling about that, we didn't get a chance to legalize cannabis back then, and we ended up trading an oligopoly for a government monopoly. So essentially, that's what we did in Ohio, because now the Ohio legislature is in charge of the rulemaking. They divvy up the laws, and they put together all the regulations through the Department of Commerce. We are working. I actually am currently a dispensing agent or bud tender here in Ohio as well. So I've got a chance to work in the industry that we help bring to this state. I am not impressed whatsoever by the, you know, ramifications of the program. However, what I will say is it has evolved since the first day. They have taken considerations from patients and changing up the program as far as how the day supplies work. I've seen that firsthand improve, and I'm an actual patient as well for sickle cell anemia. It is a condition I have C-type of since I was younger. Had two blood transfusions as a child to stay alive with this condition. I'm malaria proof, which is a good thing. it's really a condition that has been helped greatly by cannabis. And thank goodness for the activists of Ohio, Ohio Normal, all of their 8 regional chapters, including Cleveland Normal, Toledo Normal, helping us start the sensible movement. And we now have 18 plus cities in Ohio that had in some form or another through petitioning or city council have passed a full decrim law, much like Toledo did in 2015 and Cleveland did in 2020.
Here in Washington State, anybody who's 21 and over can walk into a recreational store. It's basically kind of like a 7-Eleven or a See's candy store of cannabis. And you can buy up to an ounce of cannabis after you show your ID a couple times, get in your car, drive off. You don't even really need to look in your rearview mirror to worry about anybody behind you because nobody cares. Exactly what is permitted under Ohio's medical cannabis legislation? What do patients like yourself, what can you do? What can you access in Ohio?
Yeah, no, good question, especially folks that may be ready to move back to Ohio. I know we have some Ohio refugees moved out to Colorado, moved out to Washington State and elsewhere when medical cannabis seemed like it wouldn't happen here. I thought about it myself. I actually wanted to go to DC because I can do the lobby work and grow a couple plants at home. It seemed like an activist dream, quite frankly. In Ohio, you're allowed a 90-day possession limit of, you know, when we look at flower, there's a couple of possession limits here, and I'll just go over a couple of them. For flower, we went really heavy. The maximum potency of flower is 35%, and that's within a 5% variance. So cultivators can come within the 35% threshold or up to 5% more. So we're trying to break that Guinness World Record of a potency, clearly. I don't know if the Board of Pharmacy quite understood what they were doing when they did that, but I won't argue it. And so you got up to 35% potency. They call that tier 2 flower. All right. So anything that's under 23% is considered what they call tier 1 flower. So tier 1 flower allowed to possess up to 8 ounces worth, as long as the potency is under 23%. You're able to possess up to 8 ounces worth every 90 days, essentially. Now, they've changed the rule recently to break it up into sub-periods. So essentially, you have a 45-day fill period structure where you deplete those days based on purchases you make in the dispensary. So flower is one example. And then if you look at cartridges, there's a threshold there for inhaled cannabis as well.
I am talking to Brian Adams from Cleveland, Ohio Normal, among other awesome organizations. We're going to take a brief pause and come right back with our second segment, so don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoggies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperer of Hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we are back with Brian Adams. How about cultivation for patients in Cleveland, Ohio these days?
What's that? No.
Hey, man, we can't grow here in Washington State either.
Right. Actually, your state is an exam question for the class that I teach, a history of cannabis at the Cleveland School of Cannabis here in Ohio. And it's true or false, does Washington State allow home grow? You don't know how, it's always a 50-50 with the true false. Some folks answer that wrong. And right. Just like your state, we are not allowed to do so either. And we can't grow at home. And also there is no combustion of medical cannabis. So no smoking.
Right. So it's only oil.
So here's the deal. For whatever reason, trust that everyone is going to go home, buy a $300 dryer vaporizer off the internet, get it delivered from Amazon, and then, or buy it from our dispensary, and then vape their flower as opposed to rolling in a joint. So they fully trust us to. So yeah, well, no, they sell flower too. So folks are going home, and I'm pretty sure they're not. Some of them are, I know, but most folks are just doing their thing.
Yep. Just to clarify, here in Washington State, patients, qualified patients, can grow a limited number of plants and a little bit higher number if they're in the state registry, but regular citizens can't, regardless of their age. You mentioned the Cleveland School of Cannabis. What's going on with that, man? What all is included in your curriculum? What do people experience? Why would somebody go to the School of Cannabis?
Yeah, no, it's just a fantastic way to invest in your potential cannabis career. I will say it separates you from the rest of the folks that are just trying to get another job
or change
careers. So it's
kind of a trade school?
Yeah, pretty much. We are state approved as well. The only state approved facility of its kind east of Colorado, from what I understand. Cloverleaf University went out of their way to get state approval in Colorado and Ohio. I was there since day one. One of the original instructors at the facility in 2017, January, we started off with one-off courses once a month, introductory courses, letting folks know what we had to offer. And then later on, that branched out into a full-fledged curriculum. I was a part of the hiring staff for most of the faculty that's still there working, including myself. One of the original directors of faculty there, and built the curriculum around the history of cannabis. And I also teach the dispensary operations course on the count of me being a manager at an actual dispensary here in Ohio. So it is more of a job placement course, which honestly, if you want to spend 4 years to maybe get a job, I went the long way around, man. I got my bachelor's and then I finally circled back in my 30s here and getting paid somewhat when I think I'm worth. So we started that school to help folks with the green rush. Essentially, we knew Ohio was getting ready to legalize. We knew folks were interested in the subject. So we produced the subject matter. And, along with my other colleagues who helped get it started, and the founder, Austin Briggs, shout out to AB. He, before he founded the school, he was an actual Cleveland Normal paid monthly member. So it was interesting to reconnect with him on a grander scale on a vision that somewhat we both had a vested interest in. And so that's educating
people. He's a member that took action on his own.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He became the driving force behind the Cleveland School of Cannabis and its existence to this day. It's going on 5 years now. And I've had a chance to instruct my ultimate colleagues and coworkers, which is, I've never been able to teach folks and then work alongside them. It's pretty invigorating.
Since the last time we talked, so much has happened. Multiple states have flipped, you know, and what we're seeing a couple things, I think, that are unique lately. And that is, not only were they not, these states didn't legalize recreational cannabis or retail cannabis through an initiative process. It was actually the state legislature that took the initiative. And the other thing that I'm personally really excited about, even though these efforts have been, in my opinion, inadequate, these last few states that have legalized have proactively implemented equity components, racial equity, social equity components into their systems. How excited are you about what's going on, and how important do you think it is? Because as we all know, people of color have been historically disproportionately targeted and incarcerated by Canada's prohibition. As a person of color, how important do you feel it is that these racial and gender equity components are built into legalization?
Probably the single most important component is giving mm-hmm. these folks and folks like mm-hmm. me access to the industry, a seat at the table, I guess you can say, non-violent offenders need to be released right away. You know, it must be an embedded expungement process before we even start thinking about who's counting up the money, because we all know ultimately the government's going to make their cut. They're going to have their cake. They're going to eat it too. They're going to have one that's infused. They're going to have a regular cake too. And then they're, Uncle Sam is going to find out how to tax cannabis at the same time and allow the private prison system to exist so we can get taxed off that too. So until the private prison, I always tell people, well, when are they going to legalize it federally? Well, I would hope Grandpa Joe is on that, but he looks like he's reading from a teleprompter that's in the 100th row. Like, can someone give him some glasses? It's okay. Not shaming anyone who can't see, but make the point a little larger on the screen, something, because my man looks like he's struggling every single time. But back to the lecture at hand. the single most important component of or the revitalization of ending the war on drugs is that social equity piece. And a lot of states, Ohio and many others, have dropped the ball in that area. A lot of states have deemed this act unconstitutional. No, the act of making cannabis illegal after it was already legal is unconstitutional. Yeah. And in fact, an infringement on our direct pursuit of happiness, because last time I checked, I hit a joint before this interview, and I am very happy.
Well, we're talking about this right now at this time when there's, this controversy over critical race theory is going on and stuff. And the reality is, I think you'll agree, Brian, is that we can't talk about prohibition without we can't talk about the Black Lives Matter movement without talking about prohibition and the drug war and how it created this environment where the police can just execute somebody summarily in the street, a person of color, with impunity, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all tied to the drug war. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Ever since Pancho Villa, ever since La Cucaracha, and no offense, the original lyrics of that song had a little bit to do with marijuana.
Yeah.
And that word we teach in our class is a Mexican colloquialism. It's an example of how white America has repeatedly taken a culture and turned it, inverted it on itself, and let it eat itself from the inside out. Because it's simply a word that meant, I wanna go smoke some weed, as opposed to the person that's putting me in jail that's high on a cannabis tincture, which is literally 3 or 4 or 5 to 10 times more potent than the Mexican brick weed joint in 1910. So honestly, when laws were being crafted around the criminalization of drugs, the first person to be criminalized was a brown person. on many fronts, you know, whether that person was a brown person that didn't speak English or whether that person was a brown person that wasn't taught how to speak English.
Here we are like 100 years later and it's still going on.
In different forms. And, if we don't get that part right, we've doing it all wrong. We've have been doing it all wrong, to be honest with you, Vivian. And it's sad because I'd like to own a dispensary myself. Wanda James, my hero, my heroine, her and her husband, the first black owners of a adult use dispensary. You know, then there's also Berkeley Patients Group out west where you're at, and the first medical spot for people of color. And it's like, that's what we need here in Ohio. We need that in every spot, you know. And they're keeping that from happening. And again, they're having their cake and eating it too, because 280E is being filed, and somehow Uncle Sam is not allowing us to consume this in a social setting, but they're taking all the money from the tax side of it.
Yep. We have burned this segment down to the roach. It's time to roll another segment. So we'll be right back with our final questions for Brian Adams.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
We're back to Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we are here in the final segment with Brian Adams. Brian, I know that you have an FM radio show of your own called Blazed and Enthused. What can you tell us about that? And also, I have heard rumors of a podcast coming from you as well. So what's the 411 on the 420?
Yes, that is my area code. No, I wish we could get the 420 area code. I heard some states were fighting over that. minus 216. But the Blazed and Enthused podcast... The Blazing Enthused show is the podcast, and it'll be simulcast on FM radio. So that's what's going on with that. I'm a longtime radio personality at WCSB Cleveland, 89.3 FM. That's my alma mater, college station. And I used to love saying that disclaimer. Portions of the following broadcast may be found objectionable to certain members of the listening audience. Therefore, listener discretion is advised. If you need anybody to do those breaks, I got you.
You got the radio voice going on, man. You know,
thank you.
You know, we don't even bother to warn people. It's just such a disaster here.
Right. I used to host a show called 216 Radio. It was a hip hop show for a long time. It ended in 2017. And now I'm focusing a little bit more on cannabis information, cannabis news, education. And me and a group of my colleagues from the Cleveland School of Cannabis, I'll give y'all a little bit on it, will be coming together to host and produce 100% our own creation to fill the cannabis news void locally and nationally, and also help people learn about the plant while having fun with it as well. And that's Blazed and Enthused. You can hear the inaugural episode on my Mixcloud. That's mixcloud.com/blazedenthused. Anything you can find on Blazed and Enthused is just simply /blazedenthused. And that goes for Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that. And you can follow me at BNGCLE. That's Be No Good Cleveland. Brian Be No Good Adams, that's my artist name too. I have a Bandcamp, benogood.bandcamp.com. All of that stuff will be plugged and talked about, and I got free music and things that we want to do for the community. We got a patreon.com /blazedenthused if you want to support the show. Shout out to all the other cannabis podcasters out there, including yourself, Vivian. I love this show. Been listening to it since day one. And well, as soon as I got discovered it, you know, and I went back and listened to every single episode in existence, including Nurse Heather's show and Gail Belum and Bethany Moore out there with the NCIA cannabis industry voice. And we're going to get together real soon. A shout out to the MJ Today Media podcast network with Shay Gunther of Students for Sensible Drug Policy. And we got a SSDP chapter here in Ohio. So big up Shay helping me get started on the podcast front. And I'm looking forward to interviewing tons of kind of advocates in the future and spreading the love and doing live sessions, hopefully, with folks.
Well, Brian, you're a force to be reckoned with, man. Thank you so much for taking time out from all the busy schedule that you have going on to be on the show, man. You stay strong.
You too, brother. Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, that is it for this show. When it comes to prohibition, you got the right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find your voice and speak up for justice because resistance is fertile. Turn up the music, maestro, because I am out. Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.